Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
This is Your Health Matters with Dr. Ram Nayar. Dr. Ram digs deep into all things that keep you healthy. And now, the man who wears a caution sign on his back, which reads, High Energy Human Molecules Inside. Dr. Ram Nayar and Your Health Matters.
Welcome to another edition of Your Health Matters. I am Dr. Ram Nayar, your host. This program is sponsored by Dr. Ram LLC, a consultant company for assisting and providing guidance in submitting grant proposals for funding your favorite projects. Especially the company is specialized in the grants for the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics area, although we could help with any type of grants for nonprofits or community organizations and educational institutions, two-year colleges, four-year colleges, or universities. Please go to our website, drnayar.com, that is drnayar.com, or email at info@drnayar.com. You can also call toll-free 1-844-9-GRANTS, or that number again is 1-844-947-2687. Today's program is aimed to address one of the most rampant things happening these days, especially in the past few years, with the upbeat of social media and the effect of bullying in the school systems, and youngsters are completely puzzled as to what they should do, and some of them feel trapped and then they commit suicide. So this program, being about health, one of the most important thing of health is to maintain our status quo of a healthy living, as a healthy living person. And so in order to address this particular issue of suicide rates, and more particularly among the African American community, I have a guest today who is Dr. Daniel Haller. Dr. Haller is the associate professor and chair of the psychology department of Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida. He got his PhD in clinical psychology from Florida State University. He also taught at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee. He is specialized in abnormal psychology, personality assessment, and psychoeducational assessment. He has organized conferences, the 19th annual IMHOTEP Multidisciplinary Student Research Conference, which he will explain what that is during his conversation. And also he planned and implemented the first annual National Black African Psychology Conference, where he first presented his research on acculturative stress and suicide among individuals of African descent. This is a topic that is rarely spoken in public for whatever reason, which he is going to explain. Unlike the general public that we hear about the suicide rate among the general population, and often either it is ignored or it is not spoken much about. And that's why I wanted Dr. Haller to be here on this program to explain about this one aspect of the African-American suicide rates and the reasons for that. And he will be able to convince us about what we can do to prevent, or we can also how we can proceed. So Dr. Haller has 12 years of experience as a subcontractor in private practice, mental health evaluations, and he has worked both in Florida and Alabama. So welcome, Dr. Haller. And unless you have something else to add to your resume, you may want to start and explain to us why you took up on this particular acculturative mechanism as a reason for young people or even adolescents and adults going in the wrong direction when they come into a stress situation.
Right. Well, first I'd like to say thank you for having me today, Dr. Nayar. It's a pleasure to be here and share this information with your audience. Your question was, I think, kind of what interested me in studying suicide. And that's a great place to start, because most people, when you bring up suicide, the first thing that I always hear is that black people don't commit suicide. Black people don't die by suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's just not true. Suicide itself is like the 11th leading cause of death in the United States. And over the last two decades, suicide has increased among African-American children to the point where it has surpassed the rate of white children, which actually have dropped over those past two decades, while African-American suicide rates are increasing. So this is a phenomenon that's occurring, and it's actually more prevalent in the black community than people are aware of, and it's growing. So this is an issue that we want to tackle before it becomes out of control. Any loss of life is problematic. So it's already a problem, a crisis, but we definitely want to get ahead of the curve and not wait until this is some type of pandemic occurring in our community.
Dr. Haller, do you know why this particular aspect of the incidents that are happening in the African-American community is not as much publicized or educated, so that the people won't do that again, kind of thing, unlike in the other communities?
Right. So, from my research and my thinking of this topic, and just being an individual of African descent and growing up in the black community in America, it's traditionally, historically, suicide is not something that you did find in the black community. I don't think you could describe anything more burdensome than going through slavery. And Africans in America went through slavery, but they were not killing themselves. They were not dying by suicide. They were enduring the burdensomeness of slavery, the hopelessness of slavery. Actually, they still were able to maintain hope. But for some reason today, and when I believe that particularly after integration, you see these increases in suicide in the black community. So why is it that we were able as a community to experience such hardships in the past, and today when things are supposed to be more level on the playing field and more equal for us to achieve, we're having increased rates of suicide? And so, again, this suicide is a complex issue, and there are many different models. I look at suicide from a sociocultural model, because the research that's out there today, there's a dearth of research on black suicides because it is rare, though it is increasing rapidly. They don't have the answers. No one has really looked at, not too many people have looked at, what are the actual root causes. I think one of the last studies that was a major epidemiological study was in 2015, where they were able to find that suicide rates among black boys had overtaken that for white boys between 2008 and 2012. And now it's the 9th leading cause of death among black children and the 11th leading cause of death among white children.
And you have, did you had some data showing what actually happened during that transitional thing for the increase in the black community?
Right. And so that is where the research is currently. That's what we're investigating. There are some theories. And again, I said I focus on the sociocultural models.
Mm-hmm.
So one theory that I have and that I investigate has to do with the role of acculturation.
Mm-hmm.
And so integration, if you want to understand what acculturation is and acculturative stress, think of integration. So acculturation is the experience that individuals who are often classified as minorities who are living in a dominant society, it's the stress that the individual feels as they move and try to integrate into the mainstream society, as they adopt the values and the norms of the dominant society, the educational system, participate in different social groups versus that of their own ethnic community, that causes the individual to undergo certain stressors. And particularly in a country that's unique like America, that has a foundation that is based in systemic racism, it's very problematic for ethnic minorities in America to acculturate Western values, because oftentimes those values produce biases against your own ethnic and cultural group. It causes you to devalue your own cultural group as you integrate into the dominant society.
Is there a difference between acculturation and assimilation? In other words, I think one leads to the other. Am I right? Or are there two different things?
They are two different things, and that's very good to bring about. People often confuse the two when we speak laymen, when we speak in lay terms, we use them interchangeably, acculturation, assimilation. Assimilation is when you just straight adopt the dominant cultural value system without questioning it, without criticizing it or evaluating it. Acculturation is when you pick and choose which values you're going to integrate from the dominant society and which ones you're going to hold from your own cultural system.
I see. So the difficulty here is that, we have to differentiate between the two and cope up with that. And we will hold on to that thought. And you are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram, your host.
Keeping you healthy is his job. Dr. Ram Nair, your health matters. Looking for a grant and don't know how to get one? Call 844-9-GRANTS. Dr. Ram, LLC, the proud sponsor of this program. 2-year colleges, 4-year colleges and universities. If you're looking for a consultant to help you in submitting a grant for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM, Dr. Ram, LLC, can help you from the beginning to the submission. If you're a nonprofit or for-profit organization, contact Dr. Ram, LLC for your needs to raise funds through grants. If you need a program evaluator, Dr. Ram Nair is available. Dr. Ram Nair has over 36 years of experience in grants. Just go to our website and contact us now at www.drnair.com. That's www.drnair.com. Or email us at info@drnair.com. Call us toll free at 1-844-9-GRANTS. 1-844-947-2687.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
Now, back to Dr. Ram Nair and Your Health Matters.
You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is your host, Dr. Ram. I have as my guest today Dr. Daniel Haller, professor and chair of the psychology department of Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida. We were talking about the suicide rate among the African Americans, especially the younger generation, the young middle schoolers and up to adolescents. And Dr. Haller has done quite a bit of research on the social aspect of the social sciences aspect of the African Americans, and has come up with some interesting data that he wants to share. And we were talking about the difference between acculturation and assimilation, and then we went on to some of the reasons why the African Americans population now is showing a slight increase in the suicidal rate among the total suicide in the country. Can you expand on that, what you have found out in the study, and probably what the reasons behind are?
Yes, yeah. So if I could state again just a little bit more clearly, acculturative stress is the stress that the individual feels as they, usually it's an ethnic minority, that as they are severing the ties to their family, friends, their country of origin, the stress they feel from having lack of resources in this host country that they find themselves in, feeling like they don't belong to the host country, and feeling like they're being pulled away from their own ethnic traditions and value systems. That creates distress in the individual, and we have research to show that acculturative stress is predictive of depression, anxiety, and suicide ideation. So when we look at individuals of African descent, there are a couple things going on. So in general, when we think of suicide, we typically focus on white males age 65 and older. They typically have the greatest risk, you know, not including Native Americans. And I just kind of footnote that because they are such a small number, and there are a lot of other historical dynamics as to why their suicide rates are so high. Just briefly, I'll say it might be linked to, there's a big substance use component to that, alcohol abuse. But typically we see suicide as being a white male phenomenon, 65 and older, retirement age, the increased feelings of burdensomeness, and feeling like you don't belong to others. So this is an interpersonal theory of suicide created by Dr. Thomas Joyner. That's who I studied under to do this research on suicide. And so that is one of the leading theories of suicide behavior. And so when we think about acculturative stress causing people to feel, to have a lack of financial resources in the host country, that could create a sense of burdensomeness. When the individuals are acculturating and they feel that they're being pulled from one ethnic, their ethnic groups and traditional values to that of the larger society, feeling like they don't belong to the larger society, that creates a feeling of thwarted belongingness. So you don't feel like you belong, and you feel a burden. Those are two indicators, predictors of suicide risk for the general population. And I think those are specifically important for individuals of African descent. When we look at black males in particular, they are the ones who we are speaking of that are having this increase in suicide. So in general, suicide is not something you find prevalent among black women. They tend to be protected from what the research shows. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen in our community. Again, we're speaking in generalities. These things do happen. We've seen in the media deaths of black women by suicide.
Historically, I think, you know, from what I have read and understood about the black history and African culture, I think always it has been very well known that in an African-American family, the female is actually the predominant figure and also very strict and very religious in a lot of ways, and, you know, almost the matriarch, you know, and holding the whole family together. So maybe that is one of the reasons why they are more stronger to, you know, and they don't get into the decisions of, you know, weaknesses like the men or the younger generation.
Right, that's a fair that's a fair statement. The other aspect could be is that the society integrates black women, but black men are actually, not only are there not systems to integrate us, we're actually targeted. So we definitely feel a burden walking outside of your home and feeling like you don't belong. I think we can see, before I get too ahead of myself, acculturation, the way I think of it when I was talking about integration, it's like an educational system. Being educated in Western society, that's an acculturation process. So our education system is an acculturation process. We know statistically black women have more degrees than, more education than black men, and they have higher salaries. They move up in corporate America. So they're being integrated. The system has accepted them, but the system penalizes black men, incarcerates black men, and has violence towards black men. And so I think that is another aspect as to why you see this more prevalent among black men than for black women.
Has there been any study as to why that is? In other words, I'm looking at the target population of the, you know, even I would say from elementary through high school, young black men. Are there any studies looking at their, I don't know, acculturation aspects of it, that what are the difficulties that they face or why they face? Because most of the, you know, up to high school, there are very good athletes. You know, they are very acculturated, if I may use that terminology. Mm-hmm. So would they be having also the stigma or the issue of the race? And
oh, yes, most definitely. I think that stigma, regardless of your socioeconomic status, for black men, that stigma still applied to you. Just a couple weeks ago, I think it was LeBron James, that they had the racial epitaph painted across his gate of his home. And, you know, he's this wealthy, highly acculturated person. He's successful. He's not having these financial burdens and feeling like he doesn't belong to society. But he's still dealing with the stigma of racism. So when we look at children, black boys, between the ages of 14 to 25 is when they have their greatest risk for suicide. If they make it past the age of 30, the suicide risk goes down, which is different from when we see among white males. Their suicide risks are lower at that young age, and they don't go, they don't increase until 65 and up. So, right, the question is, what is going on? Well, we do know that it may be that young black boys are more exposed to traumatic experiences at that age. Also, there may be more family conflicts going on at school, dealing with the legal system, juvenile justice system, and also being penalized in school with suspensions, detentions. Those things tend to be related to increased burdensomeness on individuals and feeling like you don't belong. And so there's no specific research. There's only, I would say, preliminary research being done. Because, again, this is not a topic that is widely thought of as being problematic. And typically, the individuals who are going to do this kind of research are going to be individuals from that community to investigate why is it that young black boys are dying by suicide when the trend is decreasing for other individuals in the society.
And hold on to that thought. And when we come back, I would like to talk about, I want you to talk about the family support and the peer support, and how we can manage that. You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram, your host.
Keeping you healthy is his job. Dr. Ram Nair, your health matters.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion.
Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Biz Talk Radio.
Now, back to Dr. Ram Nair and Your Health Matters.
You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is Dr. Ram, your host. I have as my guest today in the studio Dr. Daniel Haller, chair and psychology professor at Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach, Florida. I wanted to mention that we were talking about the suicide and the ramifications of suicide and the causations of suicide, especially among the African-American adults and children, mostly adolescents. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell Dr. Haller that I have read your book, the book that is written by you, Suicide and Eating Disordered Behavior Among Individuals of African Descent. Acculturation and psychopathology, and I read that book, from the beginning to the end, and it is fascinating. And I was wondering whether you could actually explain a few things that you wrote in the book in the perspective of the topic that we are discussing here.
Right. So the point was to try to get at what are some of the reasons that we're seeing this increase in suicide in the Black community, and what can we do to protect individuals. And so I looked at the cultural orientation model of Dr. Kobe Cambone at Florida A&M University. He created what's called the African Self-Consciousness Scale, which measures your ethnic identification on several subcategories. And what we found in the research that I conducted was that having high African self-fortification is a protective factor against suicide ideation among Black men undergoing acculturative stress. And so African self-fortification is basically when you strengthen yourself in your ethnic and cultural value system by participating in your community. That can mean going to a Black church, participating in a fraternal organization or a sorority, also learning about your history and resisting anti-African forces or resisting racism as you encounter it. Those were actually protective factors for African American men in particular against suicide behavior. And so this idea is that basically, kind of, if I can just kind of speak a little off the cuff, growing up in America, oftentimes individuals of African descent are told, or the idea is communicated, that your cultural system is not adequate enough, and that you need to change who you are and be another way in order to make it in America. And basically what my research was showing is that it's actually not true. Having a strong ethnic identification is a protective factor for you, for your mental well-being.
That's what it is. I think in some other communities, so Dr. Haller, is that then, if I can draw a parallel, there are some other immigrants who come here from some other nationalities. They keep their identity so close, at least as far as I see it. And could that be the reason why those communities are having less of a suicide or any other acculturative difficulties, or is that something because they are proud of their own heritage and they could care less?
I think that is definitely a factor. Yeah. For example, one of the variables I looked at in the book was self-hate among Blacks, and that was correlated with depression, anxiety, and suicide ideation, but not so much as having a strong ethnic identification was associated with those variables. So yes, there is self-hate that goes on, and I think that if you have pride in yourself and your community, I think that those things help protect you against the experience of racism that you're going to encounter.
And what is the suggestions or solutions that, from your research, you have come up with some kind of a solution or what can be done to improve situations like this?
Right. So connecting to other individuals of African descent in your community, participating in, like I said, a black church or other black religious spiritual groups right. that are African-centered, that mm-hmm. value African culture or black American culture. Participating in a black fraternal organization, attending an HBCU, or participating in a black professional organization like I'm a member of the Association of Black Psychologists. Also connecting to Africans in the motherland. I participated in the Nyam Nyam Project with Dr. Naeem Akbar. We went for 2 weeks as ambassadors to Ghana, West Africa. So these are some things that you can do. You can also join a African-centered movement like you have the RBG organizations, you have the Community Healing Network.
What is the RBG organization?
It's the Red, Black, and Green. It's like an African pride community organization. Pride. And then you have UPBA, which is United Peoples of Black America, which is a grassroots organization that looks at systemic problems in the black community with the goal of creating policy. So it's like a policy development institute, but we also do community work and workshops focused on African-centered education, health issues, and of course the justice system.
From a practical point of view, for the listeners to understand, what can we as a society leaders do in the school system or the churches, to educate and make the people understand, especially the younger generation, to understand about their value system, their ethnic identity, and the pride that they have to come up. What kind of a solution that you can provide, and what are the avenues by which we can provide those kind of help?
Right. Well, yes, the church is very important because that is where we congregate as blacks in America. We congregate in the church. And so the first place you would go to reach the black community, I think, would be the church. And so probably speaking to the church leaders and helping them to understand the importance of, yes, being American, but also valuing your own ethnicity and how that benefits you and your mental well-being. I think that would be a great place to start. Same thing with the educational system. Oftentimes, in American education system, when you learn about, in public school, about blacks, you learn about black people being slaves. That's where the history starts. It doesn't start from a place of pride. And I think that may have long-lasting effects that, due to the primacy effect, that people don't think about. It's an educational thing, I believe, that needs to occur. We need to educate individuals in our community and the community in general about the importance of knowing your history and your culture and participating in your community.
And also, believe it or not, don't you think that the spiritual aspect of it also, in other words, I don't mean in the form of a religion, but I'm saying, spiritual mentality, meaning, the philosophical approach of facing the truth and facing the reality and analyzing yourself, the worthiness of yourself, those kind of individual characteristics, that's what I meant by spiritual. The spiritual education, isn't that also a very part and parcel to prevent the suicidal thoughts and, ideation and all that?
Oh, definitely. There are plenty of studies showing that religiosity is a protective factor against suicide ideation and religious participation is good for your overall mental well-being. So definitely traditional African spirituality systems are things that individuals could start to learn about versus more traditional religious systems just because of the cultural relevance. And you can probably find aspects that will help you as you integrate into society and have to deal with the systems and how they affect us as individuals and as a group.
Yeah. In other words, there has to be some kind of a course or a study session talking about self-esteem and self-worth and importance of being who you are. And, it's not about your race or anything, but the achievements are done, you know, by virtue of some other aspects. You know, those kind of things. I mean, does it start the elementary school onwards? Can we put that kind of thing in a sequence?
I think so. So in some individuals who I would refer you to would be individuals like Dr. Frances Cress-Welsing and her research that she deals with the Black community, and she's a psychiatrist, systems of racism as well. Dr. Naeem Akbar, his book Visions for Black Men, is an excellent book that someone can pick up and study to help to fortify themselves in their ethnicity. And in my research, what I also found, though, that ethnic identification was protective for all ethnic groups. Okay. So Blacks, whites, Hispanics, it was a protective factor against depression and anxiety for those groups as well.
And in your book, you mentioned about eating disorders as one of the aspects, and I don't know why you chose that particular one item, mm-hmm. eating disorders, that leads to suicidal thoughts or ideation.
Right. That goes to the subtitle of the book, Acculturation of Psychopathology and Eating Disorder Behavior.
We will talk about that, in a few minutes, I think.
Is that time or not?
Yeah. So I think it is time for us to wrap up.
Keeping you healthy is his job. Dr. Ram Nair, your health matters. Looking for a grant and don't know how to get one? Call 844-9-GRANTS. Dr. Ram, LLC. The proud sponsor of this program. 2-year colleges, 4-year colleges and universities. If you're looking for a consultant to help you in submitting a grant for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, STEM, Dr. Ram, LLC can help you from the beginning to the submission. If you're a nonprofit or for-profit organization, contact Dr. Ram, LLC for your needs to raise funds through grants. If you need a program evaluator, Dr. Ram Nair is available. Dr. Ram Nair has over 36 years of experience in grants. Just go to our website and contact us now at www.drnair.com. That's www.drnair.com. Or email us at info@drnair.com. Call us toll-free at 1-844-9-GRANTS. 1-844-947-2687.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick, no obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no obligation call now.
800-814-5035, 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035, 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Biz Talk Radio.
Now, back to Dr. Ram Nair and your Health Matters.
You are listening to Your Health Matters, and this is your host, Dr. Ram. And I have as my guest, Dr. Daniel Haller, chair and professor at Bethune-Cookman University Psychology Department. And he has written a book on acculturation and the link to suicide among African Americans. And he was mentioning about the various aspects of what leads to the suicide, the ideation as well as the actual committing of the suicide among the African-American community. And one of the things that he stressed was acculturation, which simply means that the person's attempt to assimilate or follow through another culture and adapt it as his or her own. And there are issues arising out of that kind of situation where conflict of mind and thoughts come, and then sometimes it leads to frustration. He also has studied a lot of other aspects of suicide among the children and adolescents. And Dr. Haller, we were talking about different aspects of different pieces of this puzzle of suicide among African-American men mostly. We were talking about the various aspects, the family, the church, and other social aspects. Anything else that you wanted to add to, you know, to that?
Well, just to kind of finish up before the last segment ended, reason why eating disorder behavior is included in the title, that the book is about an examination of the relationship between culture and psychopathology. And so eating disordered behavior is another phenomenon that's not typically found in the black community. You don't typically see black women with bulimia and anorexia, although we have found that it's growing. There are increases. And again, there are sociocultural models that explain, like social learning theory, that explains as we acculturate into Western society, we become more at risk for the pathology that we find in the larger society. And so you start to find more black women with body image dissatisfaction. And so, again, these are pathological behaviors that I look at as a result of the acculturation process. And so the book looks at investigating the acculturation process, what's pathological about it, and hopefully that will inform what we can do to protect individuals so they can integrate into the larger society and participate without the harmful effects, or acculturating the negative aspects of some of the values.
That is very, very interesting because, you know, you touched upon that topic with the, you know, eating disorders, because especially in the 20th and 21st century, or even 19th century, or late 19th century maybe, but 20th and 21st century is completely full of the images on the screen,
yes,
you know, and the young girls who look at them, and they look at the other, you know, races and all that, and then the African-American girls will say to themselves that, I want to be like that. I mean, it's like a role modeling type of thing, but in the wrong direction sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so that leads it. But the problem is this, though, Dr. Haller, you know, are there any warning signs? And this is an important thing that I would like you to really share with the audience, because that's where we are going. In other words, we know the various components of this suicide ideation and actual commitment of suicide among the African Americans. But can you tell about the things that we can do to diagnose it, early warning signs? By the parents or the teachers or the adults about the children going into these directions of ideation of suicide, either through the physical aspect of it, by the eating disorders type of thing, or the bullying and other kind of things. What is the suggestion that you can give as a, you know, advice for the listeners?
Right. So there are some very technical things that we can do. For example, there are certain assessments you can give, like the social attitudinal familial experience scale, which is the acculturative stress scale to measure someone's current level of acculturative stress. There's also the African self-consciousness scale that I mentioned to measure someone's ethnic identification. Those are two technical things you can do, but also just being aware of individuals, and if you see any type of cultural practice that they're engaged in, any type of cultural knowledge that they have, and if they don't have that cultural knowledge and foundation, then that, I say, would be an indicator where you would want to kind of preempt that by giving them that information that they're lacking so that they can develop. So at the root of this, I think that people's cultures develop as a response to the environment we find ourselves in. And so there's something about your culture that has helped you to thrive in society. And so it shouldn't be discounted. We need to know what are those protective factors, those coping skills that are associated with our ethnic practices that have helped us to survive and thrive as different communities of people.
Have you been going around, you know, the state or, you know, the country and talk about this thing? This is very interesting that you may want. I wish that you are sharing this to a larger audience, you know, in public forums. I know that you go for the your professional conferences and all that, but that is different. Are there any mechanisms by which you do this transference of this knowledge in your community?
Well, just in Florida, during the many conferences, doing guest speaking engagements and radio shows like this, and in New York, I've been able to, you know, speak to individuals there. But mostly my work is focused down in the southern region.
Okay.
And,
Yeah, but do you, that brought the other question that, do you find, or have you done some studies, is it nationally, you know, spread in, or is it in one state more than the other state, the suicidal rate or something?
Right, that would be a great study to do. I would love to do a study, like a national study.
Mm-hmm. For which you may want to have a grant, and then you have to get get a grant from the National Institutes of Mental Health. In fact, you know, then the National Institutes of Mental Health or the National Institutes of Health, as well as the there is a minority health department of the National Institutes of Health. I think, you know, I think it would be a wonderful thing that if you could actually write some grants for the university and include some students in the study of your, you know, research. And that would be a wonderful step. And, you know, I mean, I'm here. You know, you can always seek my help. I'll be more than happy to. And, you know, here is the production director, Larry. He knows about my background. So, you know, I mean, I think this is the best way to do that, because I think your message should be more across the nation and, you know, more widespread, and the best way to get that is through a research of a magnitude which is larger, you know, including a few states maybe, you know, collaborative efforts. That would be a wonderful thing. But I think, you know, it has been a wonderful conversation, and I think, you know, Dr. Haller, you have shared a lot of things about the subject that very few people want to talk about. And it's just about our time to wrap up. And I thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And it is time for us to wrap up. And this is Dr. Ram. You are listening to Your Health Matters. And as I always say, stay healthy, stay happy. This is Dr. Ram. So long.
Talk Radio.